Welcome again to our study of the Gospel of John and the angelic creatures which appeared at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Two of them, dressed in white, appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. We've been talking about angels for the last couple of days, and we have explored the different kinds of angels and what their purpose is. The Bible also teaches us that as a general classification, in addition to the cherubim and the seraphim, in addition to Gabriel and Michael the archangels, there are so-called holy angels and fallen angels. We have a reference to this from our Lord himself in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. The context concerns when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, and He sits on His throne, and gathers all the nations before Him to judge them. And it talks about separating them like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, on the right hand and on the left. And then in verse 40 it says, "And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Whatever your thoughts are about hell, keep this in mind. Jesus said, hell was not prepared for humans. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, who first sinned and were cast out of heaven. That will be the destiny also of those who reject the Son of God. So you can see here that there are angels whose head is the devil. There's only one devil, many demons. And these fallen angels in the Bible are referred to as demons. Angels who appeared to people on earth are never said to have wings. Because there are several references in the Old Testament to angels flying from heaven to a certain place, medieval artists assumed that they had wings, and in their paintings, they portrayed them with wings. Apparently, ever since that time, we have all been led to believe that angels had wings. That's rather surprising, however, because as you read the accounts of angels appearing in the Bible, there is no mention made by men or women who saw them to these strange-looking things sticking out of their shoulders or out of their back or wherever the wings are supposed to be joined to. You find no reference to that, and surely, if angels had wings, they would have said something about it. Just because the Bible tells us that Gabriel flew to Daniel does not mean that he had to flap wings to get down to Daniel any more than an astronaut has to flap his arms or his wings to get to the moon or to come back. The reason I say that is because angels are spirit beings. If they have bodies, the Bible never tells us what those bodies are like. Spirits don't need bodies, but if God has given them a body, that's fine with me. Furthermore, spirits can come and go without any means of transportation or locomotion. They can just move about because they are spirits, and they are not limited in any way. Angels never get sick. Nothing is said about that in the Bible. They never get old either. They never age. They never die, and they never marry. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus gives us information about angels which we might not have known otherwise. It came because the Sadducees tried to trap him. They did so because they did not believe in a resurrection. They came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us 7 brothers. The first died after he had married and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, even to the 7th. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the 7 will she be? For they all had her." Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." Well, what an answer. It corrected them, and in the process he taught us that angels in heaven do not marry. They are not sexual creatures. Now, Jesus did not say that we, when we are resurrected, will be angels. And I point this out because some people are mistaken. It says, those resurrected will be like angels. In respect to what? In respect to marriage and, apparently, sex. We, on this earth, are sexual creatures. The angelic beings are not, which suggests that our existence in heaven will have a far superior pleasure to anything known on this earth by humans, because it must be a place of great delight and great satisfaction. What a wonderful life lies ahead for those who believe in Jesus Christ and who have been promised, "I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am you may be also." Now, we can't imagine what heaven will be like because we are mortals. We are tied to this body and its pleasures. And we are limited by our experiences of the body in which we live. Now let's say a word about evil or fallen angels. The New Testament refers to fallen angels also as demons. That's where demons come from. They are fallen angels. They are angels who sinned, according to Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, he wrote, "For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell," and by hell, I think we have a faulty translation, it should be "cast them into Tartarus," which isn't the word for hell, but rather a place for confinement or prison. And Peter continued, "and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment." What does this passage tell us? There were angels who at one time were perfect. They sinned, and they were cast out of heaven into a place where they are presently confined. Their leader is an angel who is known as Lucifer, who is described in Ezekiel chapter 28 as full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. His beauty resulted in pride. He desired to be like God and greater than God. According to the description given in Isaiah chapter 14, where he is described as the king of Tyre. It can't refer to the king of Tyre. There was a king there in that famous coastal city that was so wealthy. It can't refer to a human because the words we find here describe only a celestial being who contested God's authority and power. Well, he rebelled against God, and he was cast out of heaven, and according to the book of Revelation, he took with him 1/3 of the hosts of the angelic beings in heaven, who also sinned. They followed their leader. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 12. Verse 4. Jude has a statement of support for Peter's words about angels who sinned. In Jude, verse 6, Remember, Jude only has one chapter. It says, "And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds until darkness for the judgment." Now, the Bible doesn't make clear which angels are bound or consigned and which are not. Now, I'm speaking only of evil angels. As you read about the life of Christ in the Gospels, you will find a lot of demonic activity. They are opposed to him. They speak against him. And they try to turn people against him also. After that flurry of activity in the Gospels, you find demon activity almost seems to cease partway through the book of Acts, and you read almost nothing about demon activity in any of the epistles. But when we come to the book of Revelation, which is describing the preparation of the world for the return of Christ, again, we have a flurry of demonic activity. They are again opposed to our Savior and to everything that God is doing. But the Bible doesn't say which ones are confined and which ones aren't, so we have no idea how many there are who are running around loose. But the Bible indicates that there are such demons in the world. Now, there's so much more that we can say about this. It tells us in the Bible that we ought not to worship angels, we ought not to pray to angels, and in Colossians chapter 2, Paul warns against any kind of worship of angels. The Gnostics, people who belonged to that heresy that developed toward the end of the first century and became very prominent in the second and third centuries in the Mideast, are people who believed that all matter was evil and therefore Jesus could not have had a body. They were into worshiping of angels. The archaeological discoveries that gave us literature from that period of time talks a great deal about the orders of angels, how you had to learn the names of angels, and how they would mediate to get you to the true God. Did you know that the book of Daniel is the biblical key to understanding God's prophetic program? Daniel began writing in the 6th century B.C., and he predicted the rise and fall of three succeeding empires following that of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. More important, he foretold the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's an incredible prophecy. Daniel also prophesied about a coming evil world ruler who will persecute God's people and bring great tribulation on the earth. Teachings on the book of Daniel have been recorded on cassette tapes to help you to understand biblical prophecy. Write for our teaching tapes brochure. It will tell you how you can order Daniel tapes. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.